Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
And we are glad you're here. Amen. We had a great time down in Fort Davis. Everybody that went, just get, shout an amen or something. We had 18 down there. Yeah. And some of them are yet to return. So they have not moved and relocated down there. They took a little extra time. And that explains why much of our musicians are not here. And otherwise is the girls' retreat. And so we have some out there. And so we just had us a time. And David and I were covenanting together that we were going to deal with the overcast skies. We went down there and going, oh, there's a lot of clouds. And I told David, I said, you keep talking to them clouds. And so they didn't have the amphitheater like they normally did because of the overcast, and there were some alternate things that they were doing at the observatory, and what do you know? But there was a big opening of the clouds right there at the moon and Saturn and Jupiter, and everybody that stuck around and didn't bail out, we all stayed in there. Vision Church people, we stayed in there. We all got to see Saturn and Jupiter and the moon and some of the beautiful stars from that vantage point up on that hill. And so I just this marvelous to see the handiwork of God and give him the glory and the honor and the praise for it. Amen? Amen. Yeah, give him a hand clap. So we had a great trip down and back and had a wonderful time and a beautiful new van that we rented and your tithe dollars at work. And it was just a joy to do that. And here was one of the best parts of it. People sitting in a van together and getting to know one another and communicate and realize we've been at church together, but because of our busy schedules and where we live and everything else, they got 7 hours down and 7 hours back together. I think some quality relationships have been taken to a whole new level. And for that, let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Yeah. It tells me as a pastor, as I witnessed that and enjoyed that, I thought, we need to do little trips here and there more often. Right? We just need to do little trips here and there more often where we go and get together and spend time with one another, because it's so easy to get busy and not do things. And one of those beautiful occasions is when we go and work together, when we go and do something like distribute food or go door to door or reach out. And so I want to encourage us to do things like that and realizing this is going to give me an opportunity to do a task with someone else. And if you're doing a task, you don't have to communicate. Right? Kind of takes a little of the edge off. But while you're doing the task, you may get to communicate. Don't communicate too much, because then you don't do the task. But when you can work together, accomplish a task, and spend some time with one another, there's a beautiful thing of fellowship that happens there. And I'm just so grateful to the Lord for his beautiful creation, the opening of the skies. And, we had a wonderful meal on Friday evening that was prepared by the Hammonds. And so they went down there with RV. Give them a hand. We just appreciate them. The Trevinos stayed down there. The Trevinos, I think, helped a little bit there. But much of the cooking and everything was done by the Hammonds. And they had their RV set up and tables set up and stuff from the church. And we sat down just in time for a beautiful supper together in fellowship and then up on the mountain. So it was just fantastic. And I'm just registering that with you when we do it again, maybe something like that or that again or something else that you say, hey, well, I'm going to get in on that. That was well worth it. And everybody that thought it was well worth it, say amen. Amen. That wasn't even hesitating, and I'm so grateful. When Jesus shows up, unclean spirits surface. Well, how's that for a switch? When Jesus shows up, unclean spirits surface. Ooh, everybody say, uh-oh. Yeah, we're going to plunge in. This has nothing to do with the next statement I'm going to make. I just remember one other thing I want to say. I thought about, we use the idea of a refreshing with Joe Oden, and it certainly is, but it might be more like a power cleaner. And so sometimes you need the gentle rain, and other times you need the scrubbing action. And so we're looking forward to next Sunday. Don't miss it. Sunday morning and Sunday night, we're going to have Brother Joe Oden. Some of you remember when we went over to our old facilities and we had him there and just had a powerful time. And what I'm going to ask you to do is just realize that there's different personalities that the Lord uses, and not everybody's your cup of tea. But there is a power of the Spirit and something that he does through different people that gets our attention. And so I just want to encourage you just to be open to that. And but in some ways to brace for a power washing. Okay? Just kind of brace for a power washing next Sunday with our brother Joe Oden. What's that? Embrace. There we go. That's even better. Rather than brace for a power washing, I like that. My wife does correct me from time to time, like 90% of the time that I speak. But and I need it. And we need to embrace the power washing of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus shows up, unclean spirits surface. Just a little review. Vision Church wants to be just like Capernaum in this way, that we just expect anything. We'll put people in the street to be healed, whatever it takes. Jesus is here. He's in our town, and heaven is going to touch the earth, and anything is possible because Jesus is here. Not if Jesus is here, but because Jesus is here. We want to be just like Capernaum. We discovered as we were looking for faith in all the wrong places, or actually Jesus was, that with a faith that is willing to accept God's word as the ultimate authority, that's going to be the kind of church we're going to be. With a faith that is willing to accept God's word as the ultimate authority. There's a lot of opinions out there, but we need to hear the word of the Lord. Faith that asserts itself until grace happens. Huh? A faith which asserts itself until grace happens. We see that woman, and I was so grateful to hear Brother Dale kind of share that in our Sunday night service over. And by the way, the Sunday night, Dale Everett was with us Sunday morning. Sunday night, we had 28 different people in the service that we had at the cafetorium at the middle school in Hazlitt with three or four other churches. When we got together, we had 28 distinct healing miracles testified to people. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. We had three healed from plantar fasciitis. If you don't know what that is, you probably don't have it. But if you do know what that is and have had it, you know what that's like. People instantly healed during the service, during the preaching, from plantar fasciitis. Spinal stenosis. Several people with spinal stenosis. We had hearts touched, and I'm talking about physical hearts touched. Blood pressure touched. Cysts that were on someone's arm disappear. Why? Because Jesus is there and somebody dared to believe it. Because Jesus is there when we gather together and somebody was willing to reach out and touch him because he was there. And take a faith that asserted itself and said, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to believe this. I'm going to connect to this. I'm going to reach out and take that until I'm going to keep doing it till grace happens. You know, more miracles are still being reported amongst congregations and the word's coming back. It started out with at least 28 people giving a testimony that during the service, this happened. And we just give the Lord praise. Amen. Lord, do that here and let us reach out and touch you because you are here and we have a faith that asserts itself until grace happens. Vision Church wants to be a group of people that moves like Jesus. We don't want to be paralyzed in our religiosity, do we? We want to move where our faith says we can go. We want to move. Everybody say move. We want to move like Jesus and we want to see just like he does. Amen? We do not want to be blind. We do not want to be spiritually blind. We do not want to be a people who Jesus could say of us, it's all been there and you didn't recognize it. One of the greatest indictments ever uttered against a city is when he said, Jerusalem, your day came to you and you did not recognize it. It's a word that goes with seeing. How many of you have ever seen something and didn't recognize it? You watch those shows where somebody is kicked out of their house by their friends, and then their friends get together with some contractors and other people, and they put their money together, and then they totally redo their house, and then they have the great reveal. Don't you love that word, that reveal? And when they go in, their jaws are like, oh, and here's what they say, I didn't even recognize it. I don't even recognize this. This is so much has happened. That's the positive side of it. But how tragic to have the very Lord of glory walking your streets, in your presence, in your meetings, within an arm's length, and not recognize it. Let us be a church that opens our eyes and realizes the same Jesus who walked the streets of Capernaum and Jerusalem and Nazareth 2,000 years ago is by His Spirit walking up and down the aisles of our church, in and out of the places that we're seated. He is present. He is ever present. He's as close as the mention of His name. And He is here with all of His grace without measure if we will just touch Him, if we'll just reach out by faith and embrace that. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. Yeah. And we want to see just like He does. And more than anything, we want to see Jesus. Don't you? I want to see Him. I want to see Him. A word about unclean spirits, impure spirits, and demons. How many of you know we're in the month of October? How many of you know what's at the end of this month? Huh? Dia de Muertes. There's the All Hallows Eve, All Saints Eve, all the other things that it's been taught. And it's a time when it's actually one of the highest days amongst the occultists. This is when occultic activity is going to be at a fevered pitch on the 31st of October. So it's an important day to darkness. And we need to recognize and realize something. And here's the temptation. And I just want us to be stirred about this. And I want you to start thinking about this. And I want you to always think about this, actually. I want this to become a transformation of our thinking here at Vision Church. It's not about giving glory to darkness. It's not about being impressed with darkness. It's about being aware of what Jesus said about darkness. It's about being aware of what the Bible tells us about darkness and our position in relationship to darkness. And the temptation is for us as Americans, for us being Western materialistic believers, people who are accustomed to engineering and computers and everything by the touch of our finger or with the command of our voice, things Siri is giving us information, or our cars are trying to drive themselves and avoid having us hit the curbs and all that other stuff. And we have this technology which is physical and tangible, and we live in a very material world. It's very physical, and we interact it with our five senses. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But the Bible teaches us that that's not all there is. In fact, we think that's most important, what our five senses can get a hold of, and that's not what the Bible teaches at all. He says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and then these things will be added. Everybody say things. Will be added unto you. Those are the things of the material realm, the things that we want to eat, the things that we need to wear, and so on and so forth. Jesus says, let me release you from a concern about this tangible physical realm. You put the kingdom of heaven, which you cannot see, as number one, and the things which you can see, touch, taste, smell, and hear, those things will take care of themselves, because your heavenly Father built this material world. And your heavenly Father is able to provide into this material world. And He holds this material world in His hands. So don't be afraid and concerned about that. How about if we switch focus and switch priority and become more aware of the unseen realm, the supernatural realm, that realm that Jesus was constantly bringing to bear in Capernaum and tried to bring to bear in Nazareth, and He tried to bring to bear in Jerusalem. Was this realm of the kingdom of heaven, as well as the supremacy and His lordship, which allows Him to deal with the darkness of the unseen realm. Aren't you glad Jesus has overcome? Aren't you glad that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And that this is not outside of His purview. And so we need to be, I'm not asking you to be comfortable with them. I'm not asking you to be comfortable. I am asking you to become a little more comfortable with the idea and realize something. God wants me to know about this. The Bible teaches about this. And I'm going to have to come to grips with this and begin to live a life that understands this and has a victory in this realm. And so I want to, as your pastor, kind of give you that word about unclean spirits, impure spirits, and demons. Now, what you need to do is you need to be grateful that I didn't start this whole series with this sermon, because I was ready to go in power punching right from the beginning. And I felt that the wisdom of the Holy Spirit was, yes, that is the first story told in the book of Mark. It happens right after Jesus leaves the time of baptism and hearing from heaven, and he goes, and this happens there. So I wanted to come right and hit the ground running and say, so let's preach on demons for a couple weeks, and then we'll deal with the other things, because I found it earliest in the book of Mark. It's in the first chapter of the book of Mark, but I felt like the Holy Spirit said, here's some wisdom. How about if we talk about this and lead up to that? How about if we create a background for that? And I said, oh, great idea. I think I'll go with your idea rather than my idea. Aren't you glad I didn't go with my idea first? Now, some of you are saying, no, go ahead, lay it on us. We'll go for that demon stuff. A word about unclean spirits, impure spirits, and demons. The Bible has a lot to say about the origins of everything. And by the way, in the book of Genesis, but the book of Genesis means the book of the what? Beginnings. You will find in the sixth chapter of Genesis, verses 1 through 5, a very interesting passage of Scripture that says, in the days of Jared, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took of them as many as they would choose to be their wife, and they bare unto them giants. These were called the Nephilim. And they were in the land then and afterward. And we get this idea of giants, the occult, and the demonic occurring in these civilizations pre-flood and post-flood out of this great disobedience that occurs. And so there's a lot of discussion about where did demons come from, and I'm just going to tell you my opinion of what they are, okay? And let this stimulate some Bible study on your part and some questions on your part. Many people think that demons are fallen angels. And I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I believe the Bible teaches that demons are the result of a sin between angels and humanity. And they are captivated on the earth. They were destroyed during the flood of Noah, but their spirit is present. And the Bible simply calls them unclean spirits or impure spirits. This is not talking about angels per se, or even fallen angels, because the Bible teaches that fallen angels are captivated in Tartarus, and they're in chains for their sin of doing what they did, as described in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. That's a whole other study, and we're not going to open up that anymore this morning, but to say this, I'm coming at it from a perspective that the Bible teaches impure spirits, unclean spirits, and these are spirits of darkness. They are not ever good. Are you with me? They're not ever good. These are unclean, impure spirits, and there's some things that we're going to discover about them over the next couple weeks, leading right up to when? Halloween. So I think this is interesting, and that we can get a real good basis. And by the way, we're not going to get freaked out or fearful, are we? We're going to hear what the angels have to say every time a human being freaks out. Fear not. The Lord is with you. Amen? But how many of you know that God wants us to know some stuff? There's some things He wants us to know, and so we need to hear Him out on the subject. So it says here in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 34, it says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. So he has left the temptation. He's been filled with the Spirit, anointed with the Spirit. He comes and launches his ministry, not in Nazareth, but in Capernaum. And they go on the Sabbath. That is like to us a Sunday. It was a Saturday for them. They went on the Sabbath Friday night at sundown through Saturday night at sundown. So it's on the Sabbath. Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching. So unlike what the people of Vision Church experienced, the people in that synagogue at Capernaum, they experienced it. Amazement at teaching. Okay, so you can laugh at that. It's okay. I won't get insulted. They were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority. Everybody say authority. Now, when you're dealing with the enemy, when you're dealing with reality, when you're dealing with unclean spirits and impurity, when you're dealing with healing, what do you need to have? You need to have authority to do so. How many of you have ever had a plainclothes person at a concert or a sporting event look at you and say, you guys need to get over against the wall, and you want to say, who are you? You're like, I'm not going to go get against the wall. Who does he think he is? But if somebody with a uniform and a Smith & Wesson on the side says, y'all need to get over against the road, a wall here, and get out of the traffic line, we go, yeah, sure, I'm going to do that. No, I'm not going to be slow about it either. What made the difference? Authority. You recognize that person's authority. So these people are accustomed to hearing in the synagogue, but when Jesus steps to the pulpit, when he steps up and he reads and when he begins to teach, the air changes. Something's different here because he has come completely anointed with the Spirit. He is teaching the same word that they have heard for centuries. He is teaching out of the selections of Scripture like they have been following since Moses. And something has happened. Something is different. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. And just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out. Now, how many of you right about then would be a little freaked out? Right? This is normally a quiet place where the person is speaking and everyone else is sitting there and nodding in agreement, but there is nothing, no discussion going on. If there is some kind of what's called antiphonal reading, in other words, they say one thing and then they're supposed to say the other, everybody's on board. But when somebody is up teaching, especially when Jesus is teaching with this authority, we don't want to break the silence. We want to simply hang on every word. And right in the middle of Jesus' sermon, what happens? A man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out. So I want you to notice this as I pause, and we're just going to make this point. Unclean spirits are comfortable with religion and will go to church. Hello? How many of you would rather believe that they will not come to church? I would much rather that right at the curb line of 4024 Dakota Trail, they say, oh, no, not going in there. That's Vision Church. But you know, they do. They will. They'll walk across the lawn. They have no problem with that. They have no problem with the reading of Bible. They have no problem with religious icons. They have no problem with praise and worship music. I think it makes them a little bit nervous, but it really doesn't give them any amount of heartburn. Now listen, how many of you would agree that if Jesus can be in the pulpit teaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that they can pretty much tolerate it to a point? And suddenly, power and authority come together in that moment, and they can't stay silent any longer. Do you realize that their cover is now blown? That these people, this man has been going. He's part of their synagogue. He's part of their community. He's part of, if you're part of the synagogue, you're seen as the special folks who have this relationship with God. And it says that he cries out. So unclean spirits are comfortable with religion and will tolerate going to church. They are spiritual after all. Are you here? If they're spirits, they're what? Spiritual. Now, how many of you have ever heard this phrase? Hey, do you not have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, not exactly, but I am spiritual. Well, that's not the question I was asking. I'm grateful that you're at least open to the idea of spirituality. Some people are dead to the idea of spirituality, but it's real helpful to know what team you're on. Are you with me? What team are you on? And so, they are spiritual after all. When the word of God is proclaimed under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, hiding is more difficult. Let me tell you, when the word of God is preached with the timing of the Lord and the anointing of the Lord upon that, with the consecrated vessel, how many of you believe that Jesus was consecrated and sanctified to the purposes of God? A man of fasting and praying. As he was teaching and declaring the power of the word of God, it suddenly the temperature raised in the room, and that one who could have been comfortable in that setting listening to the Torah, listening to the commands of God, listening to the teachings from that synagogue week in and week out, couldn't take it any longer. And now there is a crying out. I remember I told you the sermon title is Unclean Spirits Surface When Jesus Shows Up. They like to hide. They like to be below the surface. They want to have control. They want to have focus. They want to have influence. But when Jesus is in a room, there has to be a decision made between me or Jesus. In an individual's life, the decision has to be made. Is it going to be my will or is it going to be His will? And now the showdown is on. So when the Word of God is proclaimed, I'm just going to say something. If somebody is messing around with evil, they will be accompanied by unclean spirits. If you play on the devil's territory, you will pick up some companions. Hello? Now listen very carefully, church. Did I one time say, well, you do that, you'll be possessed of the devil? Did I say that? No. Okay, all are my witnesses. I did not say that. But when people involve themselves in sin and get into the enemy's stuff, they start picking up influencers. How many of you remember seeing the Peanuts cartoon of Pigpen? He would walk around and the cartoonist always drew a cloud around Pigpen, conveyed the idea that everywhere he went, he was a little smudgy and dirty, and he just seemed to carry with him chaos, confusion, and problems. Perfect example of what happens. When a person is in evil atmosphere, connected with evil people, connected and dabbling with the occult, black arts, and so on and so forth, they pick up companions, influencers, and voices that hang around them. And when the Word of God is proclaimed and they hear it, there is now a conflict that happens in them. And it is no small thing. They will get angry. They'll get downright mean. They will try to become vindictive. I've heard stories after stories after stories of people who were filled with the Spirit ministering the Word of God who came up against an occultic person. They were casting spells. They were doing everything they could against them. But what happened? They later found out when that person ended up converting, coming to Christ, and being born again and cleansed. They said, by the way, we tried to take you down, but one of our head people said, don't bother with them. We can't touch them. Aren't you glad that it wasn't just a singer, a rap singer that said, can't touch this? That it was God who said, can't touch him. Can't touch them. They're mine. They're sanctified, segregated unto me. They're devoted to my purpose. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's great news. Number two, he goes on to read, what do you want? What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Now remember, this is in church. So somewhere back there, somebody in that empty section, over there between Linda and Annabelle and north of Chano, over in that empty section, there's nobody there. I'm not pointing at anybody there, right? And I'm not seeing somebody there that isn't there. And if you're seeing somebody there that isn't there, you talk to me after service. And if he's not tall and shining white with wings and armor, you let me know. I'd like to know that. But right there, somebody suddenly yells out in the middle of my sermon and says, I know who you are. You're a son of God. My response isn't, thank you very much. It's about time somebody recognized that. You folks can't build me up, but here's a demoniac in here, build me up. I really appreciate that. Could you write that down and sign it, please? That's not what Jesus does. Jesus sternly, right in the middle of church, says, be quiet. Now, I know we're not supposed to say this in church, but this is such a stern word that it's translated, be quiet. Shut up. So can you imagine if somebody right back there said something in the middle of service and my response was, you, shut up. How many just feel the glory of the Lord come all over you and you go, "Oh, that's great, our pastor, you know, I'm not saying anything to church in front of pastor ever again. I'm not even going to say amen anymore. He may be confused I said something else and he'll chew me out." Right in the middle of his ministry, Jesus points back there and says, "Shut up. Come out of him." Right in church. The impure spirit shook the man violently. So I want you to imagine there's a man, because the scripture says, in between Annabelle and Sister Linda, right there in that empty room, and say, "Why are you putting him in my row?" Well, he could be comfortable in any row in this church. Could be sitting beside me before I come up minister. And all of a sudden, this person shakes. And then just kind of slumps down in their chair. And you're going, "What just happened in the synagogue? This has never happened before in all of our days." He shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. So not only did he was shaken by it, but what? A scream. Now, how many of you that felt a little bit dozy already in the service would be fully wide awake? Your adrenaline would be pumping. Your brain would be on fire. And you'd be going, "My Lord, what's happening?" And then it's over. Isn't that great? Jesus takes authority. This man is shaken violently, and it comes out of him with a shriek. Here's a great point. Unclean spirits know Jesus and tremble with fear of him. I love it. Don't you? Your Lord and your Master, your Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, when his presence is near, they can't handle it. And they tremble with fear. A lot better than a lot of people who claimed the name of Jesus. And when was the last time they trembled at the mention of his name? With honor, with reverence. Jesus simply commands unclean spirits. Here's a little clue. It's not now a time to pray for the person. It's now time to command and act. If you're at the spot where you feel like you have to pray and get things together, you're too late. Now is a time, and Jesus is prepared. He commands unclean spirits. They obey, but not without a fight. Now this will mess with your mind a little bit. But why is this man shaken violently? Because this is the last act of a spirit which is connected in to a human being who has given them place in their life. And it's the detachment. It's the disconnection. And it seems to be almost involuntary. So here's the point I want to go on and make. I want you to think of it this way. Evidently, when it comes to unclean, impure spirits, evidently they are hackers. How many of you are aware of what hacking is? So, just a word, if you get a message that says, "Please click on this link and we can help you," please don't. Here's what they're doing. They'll put up a banner and they'll say, "Here's how it works." And they'll say, "Hey, you know what? You seem to have a problem with your computer. If you'll click on this, one of our qualified technicians here at Microsoft will help fix the hole." No, exactly the opposite is the problem. You don't have a hole in your security. So your security's holy. Okay? But in the other sense, it's whole. Your security is whole, and they're frustrated, and they want in. So here's what they do. They say, "Click on this. Give us permission." So when you click on it, what does it do? It runs a piece of software that opens literally electronically opens the door called a portal or a port into your computer that says, "Allow this," even though you're not allowing all of that. Go ahead and allow this address and this website to act on your computer. And so then you click on it, and then you wonder why your computer develops a mind of its own. Some of us even sit there and say, "My computer's possessed." No, it's called the Trojan horse, the Trojan virus. You've allowed it in, and here's the key. I want you to focus in like a laser beam. You have now been hacked, and someone else has influence over your computer remotely. So what happens when a person gives place to the devil? when gives place their mind over into thinking thoughts and dealing with the things that are unclean, impure, not from above, they open up ports. And then they have an influence or a voice into their life which can stir up and elicit fear and start to have influence and effect on their life that they otherwise are not comfortable with and would not want to have happen. Did I just say that they're possessed? No. I'm saying they are now connected to somebody that they don't want to be connected to. And that person, they are now playing host to a hacker who is going to have effect and influence upon them and their computer. And we need to understand something. They're like hackers, and they can affect speech and other nerve responses. Now, how many of you know that we have just we're fearfully and wonderfully made? Huh? We are. And this brain and nervous system is amazing, but it can be affected by medications and can be affected by electrical impulses and waves. Now, can you imagine if somebody had the capability of hacking your nervous system? What would that look like? They could push a button and your arm would go. Hey, I didn't want to do that. Where'd that come from? Well, somebody has an implant. You have an implant in you, and so they have an ability to trigger and affect your neural system. So that's what's going on, is that the unclean spirits are having influence on your central nervous system. And by the way, when you're thinking, what are you using? The hub. Some of us say, I don't know, I haven't thunk for a long time. But let me just tell you, when you think, you're using the hub of your central nervous system, your brain. And these thoughts that are going in and out of your brain, how many of you have ever had a thought come by and you're wondering, where did that come from? I just want to give you a little insight this morning. There's some voices in our atmosphere that are speaking. Sometimes it comes off the media. Sometimes it comes off the computer. Sometimes it comes off of our radio and the music that we're listening to. But there is also a dimension we cannot see that is speaking. And we have to be careful what we listen to. Because if we listen to certain things, we open up a port and it now has dominance and effect on our influencing of our thinking. So, let's go on. The people were also amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. Isn't that great news? Let's go back to this. Let's go back to this central truth. Spirits must obey him. They must obey him. And this is great news to them. They're excited. He gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Like a wildfire just spread all over the place. What was it about? We were in church and this man sitting back there between Linda and Annabelle suddenly yelled out and said, what are you doing? Why are you here to torment me? Why are you here to upset us? And then the pastor turned and said, shut up and come out. And then that man shrieked really loud after shaking all over violently and then became quiet. And after service says, everybody said, what happened? He said, what do you mean what happened? He said, well, you did this. Oh, I did not. I don't remember that. And suddenly his demeanor has changed and the things that were troubling him is gone. There's a different look on his face and his life is changed and transformed because Jesus intersected his life in the synagogue. And now the news gets out. People that have been hacked by the enemy, people who have been dominated by the enemy, people who have been dominated by fear and anxiety and all of this stuff working in their life, Jesus comes and when he speaks, it's all changed and transformed and the news just spread like wildfire. Yeah, we want to know a Jesus like that. Command over the demonic is an important aspect of Jesus' ministry. Listen to this now. And is given to his disciples. I like that. The command over the demonic was the feature of Jesus' ministry, and it was passed to his disciples. And then the same book of Mark, closing chapters, said, and these signs shall follow those who believe. Okay? That's all it says. Those who believe. And they will speak in new tongues. They will lay hands upon the sick. They will recover. They will cast out devils. Now, everybody say, cast out devils. That is supposed to be part of the pedigree of anyone who believes. I like that. This is not an exclusive club called the Exorcists Club. How many know if we started a club here at Vision Church this week? Hey, we're having sign-ups out in the lobby. We're going to have an exorcist club at Vision Church. How many of you would like to sign up? Now, some of you would like to, but you don't want to be the first. If some few other people would sign up, then you'll say, okay, I'll put my name on that now. We've got enough people signed up here, I will. But not many of us would just run and fall over ourselves to join the exorcist club. Jesus is saying it's not a club. It's the expectation of if you believe, if you have placed faith in Jesus Christ, if He is your Lord and your Savior, and you are following Him with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, you are walking in the Spirit, you are going after Him, that there should be an aspect of your life that you are not having to pray about it. You simply engage with it and you command it. And let me tell you, in the name of Jesus, when you command it, what they have to do? Obey. Because of Him, not because of you. Amen? It's because of Him. Everybody say it's because of Him. Evidently, Galilee was impacted by impure spirits on a grand scale. How many of you believe that Lake Worth is impacted by demonic spirits on a grand scale? I do. How many of you believe Fort Worth is impacted on a grand scale by demonic? That America is impacted. Yeah. So what does America need? What does Fort Worth, what does Lake Worth need? They need a church that is so filled with the power and the Spirit of God that they're not a church that prays about it. They're a church that commands it. When they engage with it, they recognize it when they see it, and they deal with it. And they can deal with it in their prayer closet. They can deal with it on their own. They can deal with it two by two. But they don't have fear in their heart towards the enemy. They have such a love for Jesus Christ and such an overwhelming sense of His power and authority that they recognize it when they see it. They don't even hesitate. They say, shut up, get out. Now, I just want you to practice in a lighter voice. I'm not going to ask you to yell this. But here's how many of you can say shut up? Some of you, let's stand on the count of three. One, two, three.
Shut up!
I will not. No. And then the other one is get out. One, two, three.
Get out.
Not really fancy, is it? Jesus, that's all He did. He said, you, shut up. And then you, get out. It wasn't a prayer. It wasn't a floral prayer, a wonderful prayer. It didn't rhyme. It was very straight to the point. It was a verb and a direct object with an implied subject. And it was very simple. The simplest sentence you can construct, and I'll tell you what they did, they obeyed. And when Paul did it later, what'd they do? They obeyed. When Peter did it, similar time, what'd they do? They obeyed. They responded. Because it's about Jesus. He's the King. He's the Lord. He's the Master. And they must listen when we stand in His name. Give the Lord a hand clap. So if we're tempted to think, well, you know, this is modern times. We don't have this going on. Let me just plow on. We're almost done. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So He went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. And the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. What do we see in there? Healing. Aren't you glad Jesus can heal? As simple as a fever, He can deal with it. If it's a virus, He can deal with it. If it's bacterial, He can deal with it. If it's cancer, He can deal with it. If it's AIDS, He can deal with it. Stage four, doesn't matter. He can deal with it. He not only has authority to cast out devils, but He has authority to heal the sick. So now we see there's a difference. He deals with a demoniac in church, and He deals with a sick woman at home, takes her by the hand. He doesn't even say anything. Hello? He doesn't say to her something like, woman, be released from your fever. He doesn't. What does He do? Just touches her. You command the spirit, you lay hands on the sick. See? And when He touches her, what happens? The Bible teaches us that grace moves from Him to her. This is what happens with the woman of issue of blood. So as He touches her and takes her by the hand, what does she do? She just receives strength. Isn't that awesome? How many of you know that Jesus wants us to move into that realm? Where we don't have to come up with all some kind of fancy prayer. We just walk with him. And when somebody says, oh, I have a killer headache, we just go over and just put our hand on the back of their neck. And we don't even say anything out loud. And then they go, hey, what'd you do? I just laid my hand on you. Man, I had a killer headache and it's gone. What was that? The grace of the Lord Jesus. He said, you'll lay hands on the sick, and what'll they do? Recover. He didn't say you'll lay hands on the sick. You'll lay hands on the sick and spit all over them with a very long prayer until they get up off the bed. It's not what he said. He said, you'll simply lay hands on the sick, and what will they do? Recover. You'll speak to the demons, bind them and cast them out, and what will they do? They'll obey. I like that deal. How many of you want to get in on that deal? Man, here at Vision Church, we want to really get in on that deal. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. Oh, now we have the combo platter. In church, it was the possessed. At home, it was the sick. Now we're getting a mix. How many of you know when the good news goes out, people are thinking, whatever I've got, I think Jesus can do it. Amen? And we don't stand at the door and go, oh, wait a minute. We're really good at that demon possession thing, but the sick, I don't know if we can handle that. The same Jesus is here to heal, that is, to cast away and deliver people from the power of the enemy. You believe that? How many of you know the same Jesus is here today that stood in the pulpit in Capernaum? The same Jesus, by the same Spirit, by the same anointing, here today. I mean, that sounded a little tepid. On the count, go ahead. You believe that? Yeah. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. Don't you like that? How many of you believe we have various diseases around us? Some people that really need help. So number four, discernment is necessary in order to know the root of the issue at home, at hand. Jesus had a walk with God and understood the mind of God. He saw what the Father was doing. He listened to what the Father was saying. How many of you believe Jesus had an intimate relationship with the Father? And that Jesus has called us to an intimate relationship with the Father. Why? So that just like Him, we can heal the sick. And just like Him, we can cast out devils. Well, that got a little bit weak right there. Oh, I was with you there for a pastor. He said, just like us. We can do it too. That's what He said. Greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. So healing came by a touch, cleansing by a command. And then we pick this up, the next verse. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you as a pastor. I would kind of want them doing that for me. Oh, we know who you are, man of God, pastor at Vision Church. We know that you are mighty of God and have his anointing upon you. Hey, that's not, you know, how many of you heard no news is bad news? You want some news going out, even if it's not quite right. You want some billboards and some headlines. And there's something about our own ego that says, hey, I'm getting some PR. I've got these people going around saying, we know who that is. That's Jesus, the Son of God. And I'm not going to get within 10 miles of him. Right? That's quite a promo. But what does Jesus, how's Jesus respond? He is not interested in the testimony of unclean spirits. But he is interested in the testimony of grace-touched people. The demoniac that's been set free, they need to give their testimony. The person who has been healed needs to become addicted to telling their testimony. The person who has been touched by the grace of God needs to become the PR organization of the church saying, all I know is this is what he has done for me. That it was in the name of Jesus I came and I was delivered. Somebody spoke and broke that thing and bound that thing and I'm set free. I can't even remember who that preacher was, but I will remember something all the rest of my days. And that was, in that service, Jesus came to me. He touched me. The power of God hit my life and transformed me. I'll never be the same again. Amen? So here's the question. Are we ready to embrace all of the ministry of Jesus? Because when Jesus comes close, unclean spirits surface. They don't just leave the room. When Jesus is standing in the pulpit, they'll try to face him down. They'll get bristled. They'll get all upset. They'll get some heartburn. They'll get all religious on you. and they'll speak out and they'll speak against. Are we ready to embrace all of the ministry of Jesus? And are we willing to experience deliverance as much as we are desiring to have healing? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Maybe you can play some soft piano music back there. If we stand to our feet this morning, I want to drill down on this challenge just before we pray. Are we willing to experience? See, if we're not careful as believers, there are certain things about the Lord that we want and desire, and we kind of focus in on that. But there's some other things that we're not quite sure how to handle that and deal with that. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the healer. He's also the deliverer. And this is what takes discernment. And I'm not asking you to go very deep this morning. I'm just asking you this question, that we as a congregation, I believe, and I've told you this before, that the Lord wants us to move more aggressively into the area of deliverance. Why? Because there are people who present as sick, but they're actually under influence from the enemy. There are other people that are just flat under the influence of the enemy. They don't seem to respond to anything. And here's what they need. They need a group of people. They need somebody that connects to God and can identify that, recognize that, and demand that it shut up and be gone. And every one of us in our own personal life need to realize there's some stuff going on in our life, and we are allowing it to happen because we thought it was just part of the stuff of life. That there's been something in our atmosphere that we've picked up on, some transactions and some voices, and they're actually speaking into our life, and we have let them be, thinking that's something that we need to tolerate. And instead, I'm going to challenge you as a congregation to ask this question: is this something that I need to say enough is enough? I don't have to put up with this. And I can take authority over that spirit and say, I'm not going to have you around me any longer. I'm not going to have you speaking slander against my Lord and my Savior. I'm not going to have you breathing these threats and these fears and stuff into my life. I'm not saying to you, friend, that I believe you're possessed. Not at all. You're not yelling out in the middle of church. But there are some of you that in this room that have been putting up with stuff that from which you need deliverance. And if we pray for something that we think it's a healing and it's not, we're laying hands on people. And there's other situations where it's not time to pray and lay hands on them. It's time to take it on for what it is. It is an impure spirit, an unclean spirit. And I'm praying, frankly, that the Lord would pull back the covers, that the light of the Holy Spirit would invade this place in our lives, and that He would begin to reveal these things that we are tolerating and putting up with. And it's precisely because we simply need some deliverance. We just need to be released from it. So here's the challenge. Are we willing to experience deliverance as much as we are desiring to have a healing? Are we willing to have some deliverance? Jesus is the great deliverer. We're going to go deeper into this, and we're going to see some more detail as we go forward. But if you're with me and say, Lord, we want to see the spirit of deliverance released in Vision Church. I want to see you bring deliverance in others' lives as well as my own life. I want you, Holy Spirit, to shine your light and show me, illustrate to me, reveal to me. You're the great revealer. Would you show it to me? So, Lord, we come before you right now. We want to be a church in Capernaum. We want to be a place where Jesus can preach in the pulpit and He can deal with the demoniac. We want to be that place when our sin-sick culture and the people around us that are oppressed by the devil, that they can come, they can be drawn by you, they can even deal with an uncomfortableness in their spirit that comes to the surface like boiling water and says, whoa, what is this? I don't want to have anything to do with this. They feel the pushback. They realize just how much their life is under that control. Lord, we're just praying for a spirit of deliverance in this house. We're praying that the Holy Spirit of God may be released and that we would engage with you, we would believe with you, and we would say, Lord Jesus, just as you walked into the synagogue at Capernaum and you dealt with the demoniac, we ask that you would walk these aisles here at Vision Church and that you would deal with every heart and you would confront every work of darkness, every force of darkness, every whisper of the enemy, and you would begin to enlighten it, that you would begin to show it for what it is, that you would expose it, and that you would put them on notice. We pray that this would be a place where demons tremble. We pray that this be a place where Jesus Christ be exalted and lifted high, and that the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit deputizes us and releases us in this place and in everywhere that we go to begin to become wise and see and realize this is nothing else and nothing more than somebody who needs some deliverance from something that they need the light to go on. They need the authority of Jesus to be brought to bear. They need the word of the Lord to be brought to bear. There needs to be repentance here. There needs to be turning and there needs to be release. So, Lord, we just bow before you as Vision Church this morning. We ask that there would be a spirit of deliverance released in here, a well of deliverance that would spring up amongst us, and that you would start with us, Lord. So we pray that you would show us in our life, where is a voice we've been listening to? What is that influence that we have been allowing? We thought that was normal and part of our environment, part of our upbringing, part of our psychology, and it's actually, the enemy has had a position from which to speak. It doesn't have to be gross sin, Lord. It can be a fear. It can be a dread. It can be an anxiety. It can be something that the enemy can use to torment or to bother or to hold back or to bind up or convince otherwise. But Lord, maybe we've been hacked to some extent by our society and by what we listen to and what we're involved with and the drugs we've taken and other things that we've done, the illicit relationships we've had. And Lord, we're just praying. We just release that, renounce that, and turn from that. And we ask you, Lord, to illustrate that to us. And we ask for that release of deliverance in this house. And Lord, we pray that in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Now, let me just speak this blessing over us before as we go. Lord, your grace and your peace upon everyone in this room and a sense of freedom, deliverance, and exposure of the enemy. I pray the light of your Spirit upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.